again. Step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch. Again. Step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch. Got it? Going on. And turn, turn, touch down. Back step, pivot step. Walk, walk, walk. Right. Let's do the whole combination facing away from the mirror. From the top. A 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm milling about with Margot Sappington, who has the piece Entwined being presented at New York Live Arts, along with Monte Melissa Margot Muller Live. Try saying that one 3 times fast. Hi, Margot.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So tell me, did you have to have your name starting with an M to participate in this program? How did this come about?
No, I've known Jennifer for a long time. We actually met in the Netherlands. We were both doing work for Netherlands Dance Theater, and it was 1975, I think, when we met.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we've known each other all these years. And Jennifer started this series of sharing a program at New York Live Arts with other choreographers. She's done it for 2 or 3 years, I believe, and she asked me to join last year, and I wasn't able to do so. I had other commitments. And so she, in the last fall of 2015, she said, so what about this year? And I said, sure, this would be great. So when we sat down together, that's when we realized we were all M's.
Oh, okay.
So we decided we would be the M's, the 4 M's.
It worked.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Now, I'm always interested in naming pieces. How did you decide to call this Entwined?
Because it was all about touching, you know. So that's how it ended up being called Entwined. I took inspiration from I choreographed it originally for Charles Askegaard.
Oh no.
Charles is one of the greatest ballet partners
ever
alive today.
Yes.
And it was Charles and Jenny Somogyi, and it was for the occasion of Valentina Kozlova's first international ballet competition gala. So they were guests on the program, and I did a pas d'occasion, you call it. You know, I choreographed it especially for that event. And after I choreographed it, I wanted to expand the piece and add, you know, the solo, add the trio, the girls duet in the beginning, and make it into a full-blown ballet.
Interesting. Now, when you're thinking of somebody like Charles in mind, what movements are you imagining?
I'm a very physical choreographer. I do everything first. Mm-hmm. And I do the girls' part, I do the boys' part, I do all the parts. I wanted to use this very beautiful settee music. I didn't want to use the gymnopédies, which are very well known, and these are lesser known pieces. So I wanted to use something that was a little more obscure of his. And I wanted this very serene feeling.
Mm.
Passionate but serene. Like two people who know each other so well, they know before the one touches the other, they know exactly what each of them wants.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the feeling. That was the whole feeling behind it.
And so sensual. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. That came across for sure.
Thank you. Good. I'm glad. The thing that I love the most is when people watch it, they stop breathing. The audience stops breathing. They're absolutely quiet, and that to me is the greatest compliment.
Oh, I think I did lose my breath a couple of times, actually, now that I think about it.
That's better than thunderous applause to me, when I stop and I don't hear anyone breathing. That's like it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Tell me about the dancers. There's a dancer that I was looking at. She looks exactly like Margot Hemingway.
That's Silken. It's so interesting you said it, because when I was watching her rehearsal, I said, oh, my God, you look just like Margot Hemingway. And she didn't know who that was, of course, because she's 20-something, you know.
Right.
And so I Googled Margot Hemingway, and she looked at the picture. She went, oh, my God. You know, yes, she looks just like Margot Hemingway. She's beautiful. I love her. When I was looking for dancers, Charles is now ballet master in Pennsylvania Ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dancer, Lillian DiPiazza, who was part of Ballet Next, which is where I created the entire ballet. And Lillian was working with them at the time, and she's actually doing the part that I started and choreographed on her. So I contacted her to see if she was available, and that's how I found Marjorie Fiering. And I called Virginia Johnson at Dance Theatre of Harlem, who's a dear friend, and I told her about the project, and the timeline was good. It was right, you know, for them. So I went to watch class, and that's how I found Silken. She was dancing with them at the time.
Oh, wow.
And Kirsten.
Wonderful. They all look like they've been dancing together forever.
I know. They're so beautiful together. They're I'm just thrilled. And Marlon, interestingly enough, Marlon Taylor Wiles, I've known since he was about 16. He was a student of Margo Marshall's in Texas, in Houston. And I met him when I went down to do a summer intensive for her. And then I did a little piece on her. She has a regional dance group. There's Regional Dance America. I came from Allegro Ballet, which was in Houston. So when I was a teenager, I was involved in that RDA movement. And so I kind of give back and go and adjudicate and visit from time to time. So Marlon was a student of hers, and I kind of followed him as he went on to Boston Conservatory. Then later he danced with Carol Armitage, and now he's freelancing, and he has his own company called Flying Under the Radar. So when I was looking for a man to do Charles's part, I thought, let me find Marlon. Let me see what Marlon's up to. Because I actually choreographed the first pas de deux he ever danced.
Wow.
It was in Houston.
It comes full circle.
Yes, it comes full circle. It's lovely.
Wonderful. I want to talk to you about your ballet beginnings. You mentioned being a teenager. You were only 17 when you joined the Joffrey Ballet.
Yes, and I met Robert Joffrey when I was 14.
Oh, my.
At one of these regional dance conventions. They have classes, and they have guest teachers, and Robert Joffrey was one of the guest teachers. And he saw me when I was 14, and within 10 minutes of the class starting, he was having me demonstrate. So he watched me, and he saw me. He would be around about twice a year. He used to scout all over the country. He was very active as far as looking for talent, and he wanted unusual people. When I joined, it was the new company after he broke with Rebecca Harkness. I came to New York between my junior and senior year of high school, and I spent the whole summer here studying at the Joffrey, but also with Matt Maddox. And I would have ballet classes in the morning. Usually I'd take two, the 10:30 and the 12, and then on 3 days a week there was point class at 1:30. And then 4:30, I would go to Matt Maddox and take jazz class.
Oh, my. So that must have been such a heady time for you at such a young age.
Great.
Coming to New York from Texas, was it overwhelming for you?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. No.
You were ready.
So at the end of that summer, Mr. Joffrey brought me in his office and asked me, he said, I'm starting a new company. I want you to be in it, and I want you to stay, and I'll get you into the Performing Arts High School, and, you know, it was all, I levitated and floated out of his office, and my parents were very on board with it, and I had an aunt who lived in New York, and I decided that I would finish, that I would wait and stay with my teachers at home and finish high school. So I spent my whole last year of high school, like, thinking that my life was over, that I had made the wrong choice, that I had made the wrong decision, that I would never get to New York, and now I was, you know, this is awful. And I saw Mr. Joffrey in that, like, May of the year I was graduating high school. And he said, well, what are you going to do now? And I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, come now.
Wow.
So he waited for me, which was wonderful. And so I graduated high school on the 2nd of June. The 3rd, I had a performance with my teacher. The 4th, I packed. The 5th, I left. And the 6th, I was in company class at the Joffrey Ballet in New York on 10th Street.
What a great start. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. And then how did you come to meet Bob Fosse?
Dennis Nahat had left the company, and he had gotten a replacement job in Sweet Charity on Broadway at the Palace. And he called me, and he said, I know you're unhappy. Why don't you, they're having a private audition. They're replacing a girl. Why don't you go to the audition? I said, well, at this point, I was assisting Eugene Loring, who was choreographing a ballet for the company called These Three. And I had a major role in the ballet that was off point, that was in flat shoes. So that was because I was having Achilles tendon problems.
Mm.
And so I said, but I have a stage rehearsal until 5 o'clock. What time does the audition start? He said, 4. I said, well, just go. Just go anyway. So I threw on an overcoat, and I ran from City Center on 55th Street to the Palace on 47th Street. And I had on little Mary Jane flat shoes, and I had on opaque footless tights, and a three-quarter length sleeve leotard, always French cut.
Always, yes.
Always French. And no makeup. You know, I had short hair. I always had short hair when I was a ballerina. And
were you a redhead then? No.
My hair had a lot of mahogany in it. I was a brunette with mahogany overtones.
Gotcha.
And I ran in past the stage door, man. I ran into the wings, and I heard a voice in the darkness say, "Okay, everybody, last time through." And there were four groups, and I came out of the wings doing the combination. I learned the combination from the wing, and I just joined the group, the last group. So he stopped. He came out from down to the front of the orchestra pit and said, wait, stop.
Bob Fosse, we're talking
who
about.
Who are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you come from? And I explained, and he said, "Well, do you know the combination?" I said, "Yes." So we started. And we danced it one time through, and we all lined up, and I got the job.
Wow. Was a cigarette dangling from his mouth at the time?
The cigarette was dangling from his mouth, and all the other girls were furious. They'd been there, you know, all this time. They'd been there for an hour and a half. And they were all, you know, with push-up bras and fishnet stockings and high-heel shoes. And there I was, you know, 19, looking 12 in my footless tights and my flat shoes. And I think I
love
got
it.
The job not just from my dancing, but the fact that I actually had the chutzpah to appear out of the wings with the last group. You know, I think all that added up to oh, my God, I have to have this girl kind of thing.
If they could see me now, that little gang of mine. I'm eating fancy chow and drinking fancy wine. I'd like the stumble bums to see for a fact the kind of top drawer first rate chums I attract.
Oh my God, I need this job. Yeah.
And it was so funny. I think that if you put that scenario in a movie, it would be reviewed. This never could happen. This is absolutely ridiculous. This wouldn't happen ever. You know, nobody would ever do this. Nor would this happen that this person would get the job. But it's real. It's true. It's real life.
Oh, I love that story. That's fantastic. So did you always know that you were a choreographer, or how did that happen for you?
I think that that's my calling.
Yeah.
I think that although I was the kind of dancer that that choreographers called and said, "Will you do this? You know, I'm doing this job. Will you do it?" The only audition I ever did was the Bob Fosse audition.
Mm-hmm.
But I was choreographing in high school, and the first choreography I did was to poetry. Uh-huh. It wasn't to music; it was to words. And I don't believe that just because you dance, you're a choreographer. Just because you dance, you're a teacher. I think that it's really something that is an aptitude that you know. Yes, you can learn a craft, but I think the instinct of it is an aptitude.
Yeah, I think it's a gene. It's definitely there. You've had some very interesting musical collaborators. I'm dying to hear what it was like working with William Shatner.
Oh, he was fabulous.
Talk about spoken voice, you know.
Oh, it was so. He's just so fabulous. I think I was in Florida. And I was in the car listening to the NPR, and there was an interview with him, and it was around the time that his CD Has-Been came out.
Mm-hmm.
And they played some tracks, and he was talking about it, and how it was autobiographical, and his work with Ben Folds, and I just was fascinated by it. So I went directly to, at the time, the Tower Records was still around. It was, I think, 2005 or so. And I asked, and this was the clincher. I walked in the store, and there was, you know, a young girl there, probably in her 20-something, or even a teenager. And I said, "Do you have that CD Has-Been, William Shatner?" And she went, "Oh my God, I love that CD!" And I thought, "This is a hit. Here's a young person who doesn't know anything about Captain Kirk, who loves this CD. This is great." So I would play it for my friends, and I would say, "I'm doing a ballet using this," and they would go, "Are you insane?" "No, this is gonna. I'm doing a ballet to this CD." So I wrote, I didn't want to get in touch with William Shatner until I had a spot to do it. You know, I didn't want to call him out of the blue or get in touch and say, "Gee, I really would like to do a ballet with this, but I don't know where," and you know, I didn't want to. So now I had a place, and I had the dates for it, and so I contacted, I found out who his agent was, and I wrote his agent a letter, and I sent off the letter in the mail, and I thought, you know, I'd hear from the agent and everything, so you know, the letter probably arrived three, 4 days later, the phone rings, and someone said, do you have time to speak to William Shatner? And I said, well, yeah.
Let me press record.
Let me check my schedule. And, so we have this long conversation, and he says, I know who you are. And he said, I would just be thrilled if we did this. And so off we went. I chose 7 of the songs off the CD. And he came out to see it. He was thrilled, he and his wife, and it was a glorious little experience. He decided he wanted to do a documentary. He had footage from his recording sessions that he did in Nashville. I think they did them in Nashville. And he had someone film the ballet, and we did interviews, and we made it into a documentary.
How fantastic. So for all time, you are in, you're connected to William
Linked
Shatner.
William Shatner. And he's fabulous. He's so fabulous. He's just wonderful. You know, he's in his 80s now. And he doesn't waste any time.
Mm.
If it's interesting to him, he goes for it.
What other sort of off-the-cuff, unique projects are you working on these days?
Well, I'm always looking for, you know, new places to create things and companies to work with. I love to work with the young new ones and, you know, push them to places that they're not, that they might want to go to in the future.
Yeah, that's probably the most rewarding, I believe.
Yeah, and I've had a wonderful time going down to Dreyfus School of the Arts. It's a friend of mine, Jan Hannaford, who danced with the Joffrey and danced my ballets, is dean of dance there, and she invited me to come down and work with the children, and they are advanced. I mean, for when you think about, you know, how they are today and how teenagers were, you know, when I was a teenager. I mean, I was the most driven of all my friends, and everybody else was fumbling around, and these kids are, like, driven, you know. I mean, they are disciplined and driven.
I'm wondering, are you watching So You Think You Can Dance, The Next Generation?
I haven't watched it. I kind of fell off So You Think You Can Dance. I was very happy about it when it first started.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because I am for any exposure to dance that the public gets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it will help them and drive them maybe to come to a dance concert. You know, and that contact was on Broadway, Susan Stroman's show. You know, I think it encouraged people to maybe look through the New York Times and see an advertisement and say, well, maybe I'll go to that dance concert. I liked that show that had dancing in it, so maybe I'll go see a dance concert. You know.
Right.
Because it's so, people get so terrified of dance. I think it's really kind of, I get on my soapbox about it because people say, oh, I don't understand. And I said, well, you don't have to understand anything. Just go, open your eyes, and look at the stage. You just close your eyes and listen to music.
What about some Broadway stuff in the works? I know, you know, Cats is coming back, which is astounding to me. A few of my friends are in it, which is very exciting.
Yes. you know, Broadway is a club, and I had my time, and now there's a new club.
Gotcha.
You know, everybody's rotating around the same choreographers, and you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So I haven't been approached in a long time to do anything on Broadway, although I have put myself out there from time to time.
Gotcha. You're busy in your own right.
Yes, and I do, and I love concert work. You know, it's interesting because when I left the Joffrey and I did O Calcutta and I did started to do and did Where's Charlie and Tell Joey, and I thought that my life as a choreographer would be in the theater, and although it has been, I'm always attracted back to the concert world. For my section of Billboards at the Joffrey slide, I edited Prince, and he didn't mind.
Prince,
he was fine with
the
it.
The Prince?
The Prince. He was fine with it.
Aww.
He was fine with it. I put together, I ran the songs together, and I put Breathing in, and I Want to Melt with You, I shortened a little bit, flipped the lyric. He was fine with it. He was absolutely fine with it.
When was this now? Just take me back a little bit.
Billboards was, I think it premiered in 93.
What are some of your fondest memories of him?
I never got to meet him.
No.
I never got to meet him. We communicated, but I never got to actually meet him.
Oh.
He was very elusive, and he did go to see the piece.
Yeah.
And I believe it was in L.A. that he went to see it. I wasn't there that night. and but he didn't meet anybody. He came in the dark after the lights went out, and he left before the ballet was over so that nobody would see him. He was elusive.
Yeah, he was painfully shy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man! Wow, you've had some career, Margot. I have to like keep up with you here. Well, I'm so excited for what's happening next for you, and thank you so much for joining me. And I want everyone to know that they can catch Melissa Margot Muller Monte. I switched it around a little bit at New York Live Arts through Saturday.
Please come.
Great.
It's a wonderful, diverse evening, which I think is the most important thing, is that all of us have our own voice, and you know, we all speak loudly.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Margot.
Thank you, Robin.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.